Jones, understand what black is. It's not a color, it's the basis of all colors. It is not a complexion, it is a reflection of all complexions called human. And out of this blackness, passion flows like a river. Feelings tell the truth. Song and dance and making you laugh are family members. Understand what black is. The breath you breathe, the sweat on your brow, the cheers of your tears, balancing the world on your head. Fate is the glue that holds us all together. This is your blackness. Not some horror story of lost souls drifting into the land of perversion. Black as love is a light shining on a path leading to the sun, or caressed in the bosom of the moon. Understand what black is.
You're listening to the Tom Ficklin Show with Tom Ficklin, and you're listening on WNHH LP 103.5 FM. Your home for community radio.
Harry, good morning, and thank you so much for that introduction. And again, this is our first time doing this through the Zoom technology, and really want to thank Harry Draws at the station WNHH for and Paul Bass and the rest of the people there. They're really working behind the scenes, and literally a lot of us are behind the scenes these days, kind of in our own sanctuaries. But we're really going to make this happen. And so this is the first show under these circumstances, and really to think about having as my guest Reverend Odinga, Leroy Odinga Perry, Reverend Elmer Clayton. And Sunday, are you there? I see her on the screen. If Sunday can hear us, I think she has to. Sunday, are you there?
I am here. Thank you.
Great. How you doing, dear?
All is well.
Good to have Sunday Black with me and Reverend Odinga Perry and Reverend Elmer Clayton. Elmer also and Sunday are not allowing us to see them, but that's okay, guys. We will get you next time. We will get your body, mind, spirit next time in terms of the visual. But I understand it is early in the morning, and I thought I had a bad hair day this morning myself Sunday. So I
don't have a bad hair day today.
Oh, okay. give us an explanation then.
No explanation needed. Thank you.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it. I'm trying to start off on a joke because, or somewhat of a laughing note, because it's really, these are unusual times. You know, all of us have lived for a few annual solar returns, and we've had a few birthdays in the past. And I'm not going to talk about you, Sunday. We're not supposed to talk about what a lady's age is. But Odinga and I graduated from Divinity School in the early 70s, and Elmer's 1970s, and Elmer's up in that area. So, but this, in spite of all the lives we've lived, this is a really unusual time. Reverend Clayton and Odinga, Reverend Perry, have been with me before. And Elmer and Odinga, you may recall, we started off in January. But health, public health, what it means to kind of take back your health was important to me then, and it's been important to me for a few years. But it strikes me that to have this show today under these circumstances is really maybe the best thing that could happen for me to kind of reinforce why we had these shows in the past. You understand what I mean?
Absolutely.
Gentlemen. And lastly, just wanted to mention Odinga and Elmer and Sunday that I went to the Yale Center for Clinical Investigation site the other day. And the reason I bring that up right now in the beginning of the show is it talks right at the top of the website. If you're participating in a trial that's pertaining to kind of discovering and creating a vaccine, please participate. So, you know, ironically, but also very forcefully, the Yale Center for Clinical Investigation, commonly known as YCCI, the cultural ambassadors, you guys have been connected for 10 years plus, but even more so, it's more important now for people to understand how the importance of the cultural ambassadors, what you are doing Sunday, what Reverend Perry is doing, what Reverend Clayton is doing, to help us get over this. And we don't know when this global crisis is going to end. We cannot, I mean, we can predict it, but we don't know whether it's going to end until it ends. So Odinga, any opening statements that you'd like to make in that regard?
Well, I wanted to, I want to segue into that by talking about the health disparities and the social determinants of health.
Yes.
And how it may impact on this pandemic that we're going through right now.
Absolutely. So share a little more.
Okay, so we know that for minorities, African Americans in particular, that life expectancy, the higher rate of disease, cancer, heart disease, strokes, substance abuse, infant mortality, all of these things affect African Americans. So in terms of health disparities, we know they exist. What mm-hmm. we're doing in terms of social determinants of health is trying to figure out what causes these disparities.
Yes.
So they have this thing called upstream. So these three people, they're out in the water and they see these babies and the babies are drowning. And so they get out of their boats and they're grabbing the babies and they're trying to save the babies. But one guy, he's walking upstream and they're saying, where are you going? You need to be here to help us save these babies. And he's saying, I am, but I want to see what's causing these babies to fall in the water.
Indeed.
So,
yes.
So when we start looking at social determinants of health, we've got to look at things like poverty, health insurance, access to care, environment, you know, trauma and early trauma for young people. We've got to look at eating habits and, you know, all of these social things that we sometimes fail to see. It was like this doctor in one of the TED shows I watch, he had a young woman come in and she was having heart headaches, very violent headaches. And he said it would have been easy for him simply to give her something to take care of her headaches. But he said instead, before he prescribed anything to her, he wanted to ask her about her living conditions. Mm-hmm. Was there a pool in the house? Was there running water? Was there, you know, any dust buildup? Were there roaches in the house? And so a community health worker go over, and when she went to the house, she found these things and she contacted some social service agencies that went in and got the landlord to do the right thing. And amazingly enough, it helped with the problem she was having with her headaches. And I'm sure that works with asthma and I'm sure it works with other things. But what we're basically saying that there are social determinants to health, and Black people in particular, it seems to me, are more likely not to get the help that they need because of these social determinants.
Indeed, and so that's really great, the way of kicking off, Reverend Perry, and maybe Reverend Clayton and Sunday, if you could elaborate, because the role of the cultural ambassadors has always been important. It's been important for 10 years, but now it's to me, it's even like exponentially more important. So perhaps if Reverend Clayton and Sunday,
yes,
if you'd like to kind of elaborate on really those profound points that Odinga just made.
I think
the point that Reverend Perry made was very valid. For an example, I'm a 6-footer, and for me to look over a fence that's 5 feet tall, I wouldn't have a problem doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But a person much shorter than I would need a stool or a ladder to look over the same fence. And a child would probably have to be on the shoulders of an adult to see over the same fence.
Hmm.
With that in mind, in terms of health care, especially during this time of COVID-19, which is an ugly evil word, I call it.
Yes.
We're told that we cannot go to the emergency room without a slip from the doctor. And people who do not have employment may not have health insurance, and they may not have the money to pay to go to a physician or to a physician to get a slip to be able to go to the emergency room if they're feeling the symptoms of coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, that means things are not equal for all people. there are avenues that we have for them, that's in place in our cities for them, but perhaps they don't know, and that might be something that we could share today.
Absolutely.
Like their community health care centers. Mm-hmm. In New Haven and in Bridgeport, and we can give you those names later on in the program. But that's me to let our people know that there's help for them. They may have to take an extra step to get the job done, but there is help available even under these circumstances.
That's right. And Sunday, would you like to share as well? I know you had a comment.
Mm-hmm, yes, I think to Reverend Perry's point, right? And so where we are today, health disparities, right? And so even in the best of times, we have those conditions, right? And so now we are in a time where we've never really seen before. And so that just multiplies it even more. So when you think about the challenges that the minorities have to begin with, as it relates to health, as Reverend Perry was talking about, as it relates to medical insurance, getting to the doctor, making the right decisions, this pandemic puts us at a greater risk than we were already at. So, you know, when you think about measuring that, we were currently at a risk as minorities as it relates to health and medical issues and getting the treatments that we need. Now you add this to that, add this pandemic to that, we are now at a greater risk. And so I think it's just like Reverend Clayton also said, it's important that we continue to communicate with our communities and continue to have those conversations on what steps can they take, what can they do. And so I think that's going to be really important as we live through this whole process.
Really, really important. Some people might just need a Band-Aid, others are bleeding profusely, and who's going to get the service? And there's so much in the literature now about, as you say, the disparate treatment. So it's a crisis in so many ways. And again, that's why I'm so glad we could kind of continue this the conversation with the cultural ambassadors. In fact, Odinga and Reverend Perry and Reverend Clayton and Sunday, you know, Sunday, I might call you. Can I call you an elder? You know, because you got these guys have these titles.
No, sir, you cannot.
All right. Just
call me Sunday. I'm fine with that. I do not need a title to define.
You're fine with Sunday? All right. And I like your first name. So, but in terms from the cultural ambassador standpoint, it seems to me also, let's talk a little bit about the cultural ambassadors, because their role, although some of them might be sequestered, there's still much that the cultural ambassadors can do in terms of your network, in terms of people you're in touch with. I guess in terms of, as you mentioned, Sunday, how can we not continue to, and Reverend Clayton mentioned also, how could we not continue to be submerged, but to rise on an equal and equitable basis? So,
can I say this before Sunday answers that? I have a coworker, African American, who called in sick last week, and he called and said he was suffering from sweats and fever and. So he called the emergency room, and the emergency room told him that he could not come. Mm-hmm. So his wife was totally upset, and he was upset because they told him he had to call his doctor. So for 2 hours, he was on the phone trying to reach his doctor to get his doctor to call the emergency room so that he could go in and get checked. Come to find out, his doctor retired last Friday. Mm. So now, if you have no health insurance, you have no primary health provider, if you have no physician, and you have these symptoms, mm-hmm. you could be a forgotten individual. So he finally called 211, and they called someone in Hartford, and then some agency called urgent care, and he has insurance, called urgent care and told him to show up at the door. And when he got to the door, he had to call in order to get in. Now you think about seasonal workers, people who have no health insurance, people who have no primary care physician, and they get sick and they can't go to the emergency room. They can't go to urgent care. Now the rich and those who have the means of having access, that puts them in a far greater position than those who do not. So the question that you're asking Sunday now, and you're asking about the cultural ambassadors, it seems to me is, what can the Black church and what can the community, the Black community, in this kind of situation where we're already two steps behind, mm-hmm. what hope is there and what can we do? And I know you and I had mentioned before about liberation theology and James Cone and you know,
Nat Turner even. Mm-hmm.
How can we somehow rise to the occasion? Miss Sunday.
I love the way you just throw that out there. how do we rise to the occasion? You know, I think that our role in the church and our roles as ambassadors remain the same, right? We have to obviously heighten that, but it remains the same. It remains the same as it relates to educating, right? And finding out information that we can share with our communities, with our church community. It remains the same as it relates to making sure that we are fully in touch, not just understanding what the news is telling us, but understanding as a body of church, like how we can continue to pray and how we continue to connect with one another and educate one another and ensure that we're providing that information so that we can move. It doesn't matter that we cannot get together as a group, right? And so socializing is not required to be in person at all times, although it is good and it's gonna feel much better when we can go back to that. But from the church perspective, I think that we need to remain connected to our people. And that's, you know, in many ways we do that in the church. We are right now doing virtual prayer sessions. We're doing virtual Bible studies. We're talking about this pandemic. We're having conversation. What information do you have? Where's the best place to get the information? And really educating folks so that they can educate others within our circle so that this spreads, that we're not just sitting here and just waiting for someone to say, okay, you can do this. No, we're working together as a church, as a body, to ensure that we're getting out to the masses and talking to the folks. And we're doing it in many different ways. Virtually, you know, honestly, it's at this time, I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to do it virtually, right? And so if you go back 20 years, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to do this, but we do. And so we cannot stop doing what we're doing just because we can't go out and we can't meet with the people face to face. There's other ways of connecting, and we have to maintain that connection to ensure our elderly folks are being taken care of, to ensure that even our young adult folks understand, like, this is a pandemic, right? And so all of our lives have to change, not just your lives, our lives have to change as well. And how do we deal with that? How do we cope with that? And how do we ensure that we're being educated in a way that is right for our people and they understand what they need to do? I mean, I hope that answers your question.
Let me add to that just a bit.
I give an A+, Sunday. You can A+ for me, Reverend Clayton.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to piggyback on Sunday's comments. We also have to preach and share the normal methods that have been in the news from the beginning. Keep washing your hands with soap and water. And if soap and water is not available, then you can use hand sanitizer. Keep your social distance. They're telling us 6 feet. And we have prayer every morning on the phone. And we're sharing these things with our people, helping to understand that this thing is serious. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are dying from this disease. And we are blessed, as Sunday was saying earlier, that we have social media and we can connect with our seniors and people who otherwise would not hear from the clergy.
Yes, yes.
And above all, we must humble ourselves and pray to God, seek his face for wisdom and direction as we go through this period of time. And we will get through it. We will definitely get through it. But we must be vigilant, and we must be smart, and we must use every tool that's available for us to help ourselves and the community at large.
And I so appreciate you, everyone, sharing that. And that's why, again, about having this show virtually and resuming the Tom Ficklin Show, and just the opportunity, although I've known the three of you, you know, more recently, and Odinga in the past also, just to, as Sunday mentioned, not to kind of just be depressed and feel isolated, but we can be proactive even under these circumstances. And that's what I really wanted, one of the themes I wanted to communicate, that you can be more aggressive. We can still pursue our liberation theology, whether it's in the home, in the church, in the schools, in your bedroom, in your living room. Just what does it mean for total liberation of the public, and for us not to kind of be subsumed by these immediate medical circumstances. Let me shift everybody, Reverend Clayton and Reverend Perry and Sunday. Let me shift to, it was just about a month ago that there was the conference at the Yale Medical School, and the Yale Center for Clinical Investigation, Cultural Ambassadors, brought in some top talent pertaining to public health, pertaining to vaccines, pertaining to clinical trials, pertaining all of that in the context of, are we equitably participating? Will the benefits of these new vaccines that are created, these new pharmaceutical drugs, will those benefits be equally distributed throughout society, or will some folks be distributed about that? So I wanted people to know that it's, even if we didn't have this crisis, that YCCI, the culture ambassadors, have been on the front line, not necessarily predicting this pandemic, but being a part of preventing future pandemics. Would anyone care to share about that a little bit, about how you, the connection you had with the pharmaceutical companies, the major players that you had there, indicating to them that they cannot pursue their business as usual without including Black people, brown people, all people, in terms of the research findings, as well as the benefits of the drugs?
OD, I think you should take this one.
Well, we're talking with Tisha, who is really working on the protocol for research with regards to this pandemic and how Yale will address this. And I think that her words of encouragement to us is that, you know, she understands the health disparities. And so minorities in this process will get even a greater share of attention, because that's basically where the need is, and particularly mm-hmm. in our area. And I think that's wonderful. Here's for me, Tom, what is of concern. So there are two people, there are a number of people who are sick. Who gets the trial drug? Who gets the Ebonic drug or the other drug that may save someone's life? And I think that's critical, that we have someone there who can help us navigate through those difficult waters. I mean, if you're poor, does that mean you don't get the treatment that you need? Basically, because you're poor, you're in poverty. And I think that what this research does at YCCI is it's been set up to address, in particular, the disparities with regards to health disparities with regards to African Americans and Latinos and minority people in our community.
Oh, absolutely. I guess before Elmer and Sunday, when you jump in, let's give Tisha her shout. It's Tisha John. What she's using her
yes,
Mary,
Johnson Harris,
huh?
Tisha Johnson Harris.
Tisha Johnson Harris, and her title again.
Sure, good question. The director of YCCI,
and I know she has the operational responsibilities, and really someone that's been critical in terms of how the
yeah, she's the chief operating officer. Absolutely.
And Tisha, so we want to thank you for allowing this to happen. And just in your point, again, before Elmer and Sunday jump in, is so critical. And Sunday has indicated this, that yes, this day might pass, but that does not mean there aren't going to be other pandemics down the road. From a generational standpoint, how critical our historical role is right now, this time, this day, this moment, in terms of preventing future pandemics, minimizing future pandemics. And when they do occur, how can it, you know, some people not be triaged and others will be served. So it's really, that's why today is not just a routine radio show conversation for me. This is an impactful show that we must kind of gird up our loins, as others would refer to, and not be pessimistic, but in fact be optimistic about it, the power that resides within all of us. Sunday and Elmer, would you care to comment?
I think Reverend Perry, you know, said it well, right? And so when you think about the work that Tisha and her team is doing, they haven't forgotten us, right? So they're keeping us informed of what's happening, what's coming down the pike. And so she's doing a great job as it relates to that. You know, we are meeting to discuss in some additional details of what's happening and how we could inform our people and make sure they're getting the care that they need. So I think that when you think about YCCI and their role, when you mention the conference, this, you know, it's not the first conference. We've had conferences like that throughout the 10-year time that we've been partners with YCCI. And that's, you know, that's important because that helps to educate us even further than what we do on a monthly basis. So, you know, I feel like they're doing a great job in keeping us informed and making sure we're still connected to what's going on. So.
Indeed. I'm just so impressed. Because when you had Merck there, let's just kind of name drop for a second. You had Merck, you had some Johnson & Johnson related affiliate was there. What are two or three other of the larger pharmaceutical companies? You had Boston, a group out of Boston. So you had the movers and shakers in our midst, understanding that they're going to have to play fair. They're going to have to make their money on a fair basis and not just on the backs of people and exploiting people. Again, you're listening to the Tom Ficklin Show, and it's really a pleasure to have Reverend Elmer Clayton with me, Reverend O'Dea.
Elvin Clayton.
Go ahead. Pardon?
Elvin.
Elder?
Elvin.
Elvin, I'm sorry. Elvin, so you have a new name. It's Elmer and it's Elvin. So I'm gonna give you two new names. But the Reverend,
one
again,
name
right?
Is enough.
you're like Sunday, okay. All right.
Thank you.
The other thing is that our YCCI meetings with the ambassadors, we're scheduled to have a meeting tomorrow with regards to exactly what Yale is doing in terms of research in this area, and also to get some guidelines and protocols that they think might be advantageous to the ambassadors to to relate to the communities in which we come from. So I think the valuable fact is that we have this collaboration going on.
Yes.
That we do have the medical community, and they're going to directly give us the information as it regards to what can be done and what should be done with regards to this pandemic where we are right now. And I think that's good, because right now, just to get a doctor to talk to is almost impossible. To get inside of the emergency room is impossible. And so our people are kind of left out, like, what do we do? So we want to find these things. And I think I want to thank you for this show, because I think this might be a new medium for us to be able to get the word out within our community. And I've been saying this for a couple of years now, that we need people within our community, newspaper people who deal with our community, media people who deal with our community, because our community, like all communities now, they're living on Twitter and Facebook and Twitter, Facebook, and all the other social medias. Indeed. The only problem is that our elderly people who may not have access to computers or to this media, those are the ones we need to find new means and new ways of getting information to them.
Indeed.
Back in the old days, listen to the radio, remember? And that was the number one thing. And then they started having television that was 24/7, and you could watch the news all day and all night. But your show is I think an awesome media approach for us.
Well, we
can I agree with that because when you think about it, like Reverend Perry said, they can watch the news all day, but the news is not speaking to us as a people, right? And so it's not geared toward African Americans, Hispanics. It's not. And unfortunately, we need some of that, right? And so what we're hearing in the news is really not, I mean, it's information, but it's just not geared toward us, and it's not what our people need to hear.
Well, I definitely obviously appreciate it, and hopefully we can continue to kind of do these regular sessions. And you say information is power, particularly if it's used and shared in the right hands. And we have some right hands here. Reverend Clayton, I'm not going to mention his first name, but Reverend Clayton is a powerful person, Reverend Perry and Sunday. It's my pleasure to kind of be involved with this strategy of information dissemination. The meeting that you referenced, Reverend Perry, that's coming up this week, if again, we can chat about that or get the word out, moving into the future, perhaps schedule another show, that would be great. But the key thing of what I love about the station, WNHH, and social media platforms, is we can now send this show will be archived, and we can send it out to people. Your point about the elderly is something that I've been continuing to think about, and I've been in touch with the head of elderly services here in New Haven, because even the senior citizen centers are closed. And that would be a normal way that we would go in and kind of chat with them. So I'm giving this more thought. But Sunday, I'm going to throw that question back at you, because I know you're involved with some of the young people in education and Christian education in particular. But it seems to me, Reverend Perry and Reverend Clayton, that some of the younger people, even the grandsons and the granddaughters, might be able to kind of just have that communion with their grandmother, their grandfather, their older uncle, in terms of like showing them their phone, if you follow me. Having the young people be the conduit to kind of being in touch with some of their grandparents. And even if a young person that's 10 years old could call up his or her grandmother or uncle or older uncle or older cousin and just talk to them over the phone and or maybe even tease them with FaceTime, how to kind of do that face-to-face. So there may be some way that the young people could be the technology pioneers to the and even educators of the older sect, if you follow me.
Well, I think Tom, it's a bilateral relationship that needs to take place, because I think that the fathers and mothers, grandmothers and grandfathers that are seniors who've been on the battlefield, those are the ones that seemingly using precautions that young people who think that they are invulnerable to might need to hear something from mom now. Don't be bringing a gang of people over here. Don't you be congregating with all of your friends because you think that you are not vulnerable. So I think it's a two-way street here. I think that we have to pull community and family together again, so the young can help the old and the old can help the young. I think that is, you got to be a parent. You got to be a guardian. And at the same time, There has to be that same responsibility and care and love on the part of our young people who can go out and shop for the elderly, who can show them how to get on to Facebook or Twitter, and just bring them into this new age of technology. You're never too old to learn. That's what I believe. Am I right about that, son?
That's right. You're never too old to learn. And I think between the two of you, no, let me stop. I think, though, between what you both said, right, and think about all the things you said, getting the young people to help the elder. The elder, I love the point that you made, Reverend Perry, is around having the elder people help the younger people to understand, right, the importance of, for lack of better words, obedience, right? And really taking those steps of precaution and not feeling like you're invincible, right? Because young people, they're like, they've been still out there, but young people are getting this disease just like the older folks are getting it. And so that two-way communication that you talked about is really important, right? Because we know our elderly can educate our young people on so much, and our young people can educate our elderly. I mean, everything that you guys mentioned as it relates to teaching them how to do Facebook, having those conversations with them, whether it's a phone call, whether it's, you know, do you need groceries? Do you need help with anything? But understanding that you can still do those things and support one another and support others by social distancing, right? And so you can still do those things through social distancing. But I think you guys captured every last one of the things that I would have talked about as it relates to our young people helping our elderly, and vice versa, our elderly helping out with the young. So I think that we just have to get the message out and help people to understand, again, there are many ways that we can work together through this pandemic to ensure as many safe lives as possible, to ensure that we're not taking risks that are unnecessary, but still being able to reach the masses and reach the people to provide them that help that they do need.
Definitely, definitely.
And I'll say this. I'm sorry, Reverend Clayton. And I do at least know your name.
I know the last name. I got 50% of it. I get 50%.
Reverend Perry reminded me of something. Like, I have young sons, right? They're millennials. And it's crazy because I work from home. Normally I work from home anyway, part of the week. But I think it was last week one day, all of a sudden I'm like, what's all the noise upstairs? Like, my son had like a couple of people here. I'm like, whoa, did we need the social distance here? This is like serious stuff, guys. And they're younger. And so when you talked about teaching your children and educating your children, I had to remind my son, right? So this is our household. So you continue to, you bring folks in the household, you could possibly be bringing that into our household. So it's important that he follows those same guidelines as what we're telling our older folks to do and so forth. So, you know, sometimes they don't really think about it, but, you know, that's what we're there for, is to educate them.
Speaking of education, my wife is an educator, and she's been sending lessons to her students. And one of the surprising things that she shared with me was that some of the students that were trouble students, so to speak, or guys that like to fool around, didn't do their homework, when this work goes home now, you have a parent or a grandparent that's seeing to it that it gets done. And she said, I'm getting work from kids that hardly would ever turn in homework. So even now, it's a positive thing in the midst of all of this pain and suffering. So I just want to share that with us.
And can I just share something as well as it relates to that, and parents and grandparents? I think it's important, too, that we remember that some of the work that they're doing, the parents and the grandparents cannot help with that. And so what I've been encouraging people to do is find a virtual tutor. There's plenty teachers out there that are sitting at home, right? They're doing their lessons, but would not mind helping children through some of these lessons, helping parents to get their children through some of these lessons. I remember what it was like sitting at the kitchen table doing homework. So I know it's not always easy and it can be challenging, but that's one of the things that I've gotten a couple of people to do. And as a matter of fact, I got one woman in Connecticut connected with a woman in California to help tutor her son. And so virtually, again, it's wide open. You know, they can reach out, they can find someone who can help them. So I would encourage parents to consider that, especially if they're struggling or their children are struggling with maintaining focus. They can do Zoom meetings just like this. They can do FaceTime tutoring exactly like this, so that they have that face-to-face interaction with someone who can help them through a lesson that they may be struggling with.
Excellent. So, Tanya, I want to take a little bit of a shift, but still in terms of the educational theme. And when I was looking at some of your background, and from a personal standpoint, this summer is coming up, and from a personal standpoint, every summer I think about when I went to Sunday school back in the day, and the graham cracker cookies and the milk. Sunday school is not as popular anymore, but it seems to me, Sunday, that you have some experience with Sunday school and Christian education. And might that be an opportunity also now to kind of share the importance, again, under this educational theme, of Sunday school, and whether it's virtual Sunday schools or whether you're, or whether there's some platforms that you're aware of. But it seems to me that that some of the biblical stories, Sunday school in particular, reaching that younger generation, might be more just as important today as it ever was.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, you can utilize the same type of medias that we're using today, right, to have those sessions. We do the same thing on Sunday morning with Bible study, right? And so we're doing it virtually via Zoom. We're doing it on conference calls. And that's the same thing. I think with our younger generations, it's important that we have the face-to-face. And so I think it would be beneficial when we're doing these Sunday school lessons and or vacation Bible school, because we'll be up on that very soon, and hopefully we'll be out of this pandemic. But face-to-face is better. And so when you think about dealing with younger people and keeping their attention, a conference call may not be the best way to go about it, right? And so you want to really focus on something where you can do it face-to-face. And I'll give an example. Actually, just last month, we had, it ran for three months. We had a youth Bible study, and we did it via conference. And it's very difficult to get folks to be engaged in a conversation on a conference call, right? And so you have people talking over one another. You have people that are signing, you know, they're not engaged. And so I think from an educational perspective, as it relates to Sunday school, as it relates to vacation Bible school, things like that, if we are in the state where we are in, it's best to do something from a virtual perspective where you can see one another and have dialogue. We know our young people like being on FaceTime. They like doing Facebook Live and things like that. And so you can really kind of interact with them that way. So I think when you talk about, you know, as we move forward, you know, just now they just made the announcement yesterday that, you know, social distancing will continue until April 30th, right? And so now we have a whole nother month. And so I think to your point, it's important that we continue those Sunday school lessons and do them from a visual perspective if we can. If not, you know, conversation via conference call or what have you is fine. But from a young people and working with the young people over the years, I just know that it's just easier if everyone could see everyone and
indeed.
Engage them, right? And so you can help get them engaged. And it lessens the amount of multitasking as well, if you're on
video. We have about eight more minutes, so let's kind of maximize the time that remains. And again, go ahead, Reverend Perry.
I think that, you know, this COVID-19 is really changing socially and physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything that we have known and done from the past. I think that in the lesson of learning and going forward, and I think it's so important that we're moving toward a new technology where people are using Zoom for meetings, not only at work, but even in church and other kind of we even have a program called Hoop where you don't even have to have a choir now. You can just bring up Hoop and it'll be your choir, it'll be your musicians. But in all of this technology, I think that we should not overlook the importance that religion should play in this part. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a time for us, I think, to regroup religiously, spiritually, and find our ground of being so that when whatever comes, we can say, no matter how dark the night, we believe in the coming of the morning. And this is the power, I think, of the Black church that has helped us survive 300 years of oppression and slavery. It brought us through the Depression. It brought us through the wars. It brought us through Jim Crow. It brought us through lynchings and segregation, and yet we are yet alive. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons that we can testify to that is because we've had our faith grounded in something bigger than us. And I wish we can get that message out to our communities, to our children, and to our neighbors. It is so important. the golden rule is still the golden rule. It is so important. Helping others in this crisis is so important. And I think that's what this should do for us. It should bring us together.
Yes.
I will echo that, because that is so much a profound message, right? And so when you think about what Reverend Perry just said, our topic of a conversation should have just totally been all around that. I'm just going to say that, right? Because social distancing does not mean spiritual distancing. And this is the time for us to come closer, to become closer to God and become in one mind, body, soul, and spirit. Like Reverend Perry just said, oh my God, think about how we as a people got through all the struggles and all the hard times through slavery. And it was just leaning on God and just focusing on God and praying and staying connected to God. And I think this is a great opportunity. If you want to look at a positive out of this whole pandemic, it means that we are home. We have the time. We are not hustle and bustling out there. We have the time to spend with God and the time to come closer to God and really tap into our faith and understand that we will get through this, but just keep having that communication with God. So I appreciate that, what Reverend Perry just said, because it just made me rethink about, you know, it's not about social distancing. It doesn't mean spiritual distancing, right? So we just need to continue to make that connection.
There is a psalm, Psalm 27, verse 13. It says, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. And verse 14 said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. There, in the midst of all of this sickness, pain, and death, there is also some goodness and some wonderful things that's taking place. There are people that are hungry are still being fed. We're connecting, like we said earlier, through all kinds of social media. We're connecting with people that we have not met this way. And we must remember that the gospel is still being preached online, and lives are being changed, and souls are being saved, all because of this new way of connecting so many people. So, Dr. Ficklin, we thank you so much for allowing us to be with you today. It has been a wonderful experience for us, and we pray that your listeners will enjoy as much as we have enjoyed being with you.
So thank you, everybody. And just last words of Reverend Perry or Sunday, because again, we hope to do this again and continue this journey of edification and liberation. We want to continue it into the future. Reverend Perry, any last words? Reverend Perry, you can kind of maybe try to speak over the.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's a wonderful, session we just had, and I think it's enlightening. I want to thank Sunday and Dr. Clayton and yourself for helping us get this message out.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you soon. Good luck with the meeting this week, and please keep me posted. Sunday, thank you so much, Reverend Clayton. Thank you so much, Reverend Leroy Odinga Perry, as always.
Thank you.
This is the Tom Ficklin Show, and let's keep the communion. There's a communion is not just one particular Sunday, but it's every moment, 24/7, 365. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
My life's a finish being a quitter, but little by little, they joking, telling some riddles. Now I'm in my section, ain't willing to give up. Know you getting knocked down, but you gotta get up. I'm never gonna give up. Fall down, I just gotta get up, hey. Cause this is my road. Lights, camera, action, I'm ready to go. I'm never gonna give up. Fall down, I just gotta get up, hey. Yeah, this is my road. Lights, camera, action, I'm ready to go.